Halashing for Halas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. It is wonderful to be back with you. I feel like I have been off for a whole month of eating. In fact, it has almost been maybe a bit more. But I've been experimenting quite a lot, so I've got quite a few nice recipes to share with you. And we've had some wonderful meals on the sukkah. We went to some friends. We had a beautiful Israeli evening. And I think a lot of people have picked up on the idea of theme evenings. And one of my theme evenings was Bilderbergers. Bilderberger evening, which was fantastic. And the other one had to be my Mediterranean meal. And you know, when somebody says to you, Sharon, you've got to share this on air, you've got to share this recipe. And I said, but I'm sure I've shared it before. And they go, no, just share it again. It's quite a rewarding and satisfying feeling knowing that everybody went crazy for it. So the other day, I can't remember when it was, the other morning, I heard the chief rabbi talking about the Shabbos project, which everything that you need to know about the Shabbos Project is on www.shabbosproject.org. And he was talking about it being a healthy eating experience. So I thought, okay, so let me get hold of all those beautiful healthy books that I have. You know, those books that where you look at it and you go, oh, is it going to taste as nice as it looks? Or, you know, I mean, I've often, as you've often heard people saying, you are what you eat. Now, okay, if I am what I'm meant to be, I am what I eat, then I should look like a piece of biltong. I should look like a bagel. I should look like a biscuit. Because those are really all the things that I love. I know that I should eat more fruit. I know that I should eat more fresh salads. And, but I love my bread. Okay, so that's one good thing about the Shabbos Project, is that we are making our own challah this year. And it's going to be such an incredible experience, because if you go onto the site, you'll see that this year, everybody's going to take their challah and make it in their own home. They can have as many friends as they want over. Everybody needs to just go onto the site, Shabbos Project's site, and you'll see that you can buy the boxes. I think it's 10 rand. All you need is to supply the water and the eggs. And you can create it in your own home, which is a lovely experience. And invite all your friends and invite somebody that, doesn't ever really bake challah. So, thank God challah's not off the menu. But then, I thought, okay, so now I've got to use, a decent flour now, because they say that, you know, all the flours that we buy on the shelves are very highly processed and whatever. So you can get, I think it's Eureka flours, lovely artisanal flours are available now, and they really do make beautiful bread. And then, of course, I often think to myself, but what about all these beautiful sweets and all these beautiful dishes, all these beautiful sweet things and that processed sugar that we eat. So now I'm starting to think more healthily, because it's going to be a healthy Shabbos project. And I think it's a very good idea, because it was only a week ago that we were dancing with chocolates. But anyway, but we know that the quantity of processed sugar we are consuming is bad for us. And sugar, as you know, is very addictive. So what are the alternatives? So one of the alternatives that I've actually been working with is xylitol, just as an example. I mean, there's lots of other sweeteners and artificial sweeteners, but somehow that one doesn't leave that artificial sweet taste in my mouth. And it's a sweetener, funnily enough, that the body recognizes as natural because it is present in all plant cells and is derived from tree bark. And it can be used in the same way as sugar and has no impact on the blood sugar levels. So after the break, I'll be coming back with some nice exciting healthy recipes for the Shabbos project.
Chalashim for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for SM Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Welcome back. And as I was saying before the break, we are talking healthy alternatives that we're for the Shabbos Project weekend and recipes and all sorts of different ideas of how we can eat healthily over that weekend because we have, I think, overindulged over the past few weeks. I try. I always say, I'm not going to eat X, Y, or Z. And in the end, it has been here, it has been there. I may as well have had the whole cake. Anyway, so I was going through a whole lot of my books looking for some nice recipes. I did find that my favorite books is The Guilt-Free Gourmet because it's a book by a brother and sister, I think, Jordan and Jessica Burke. And it's all the lovely recipes that you can make without being tasteless, boring, bland, because isn't that what we associate healthy food with? Which we don't have to, but we normally do. So, I suppose the old saying of everything in moderation. But what I also loved about this book was the alternatives. And it's not a kosher book, but there's alternatives to milk, is coconut milk, the alternatives to, butters and oils and the different things that you can use and the alternatives to sugar. Really making it healthy without making it tasteless. So I'm going to share a couple of the recipes from that book. And I think what we should start on is breakfast menu for the Shabbos project. Or maybe, let's start with Friday night. Okay, so this is where this Mediterranean lamb comes in. So I made a Mediterranean evening, as I said, in my sukkah, and it was wonderful, and everybody was chilled and relaxed, and I used, obviously not a shoulder, because, you know, the butcher's wife always goes without the beautiful cut, so we used breasts of lamb. You can use any cut of lamb that you want, but the secret was letting it go the whole day. And all I did to it was, I like to braai things first. You don't have to braai it. You can stick it straight into your baking dish. And I just covered it with some fresh rosemary, fresh mint, ground pepper, salt, a little bit of olive oil, garlic, parsley, and just sort of made it into a lovely paste and just covered the lamb with it and I just let it cook on about 140 the whole day and almost got this stickiness about it. So it was as simple as that. But I think what everybody was going crazy for was the mint pesto. Okay, so the mint pesto was quite easy to make. So if you want to use your favorite lamb recipe, you can use shanks as well. And then all you do is you serve it with this pesto, which was 1 tablespoon of honey, 100 grams of pine nuts. If you want to, you can use sunflower seeds if you prefer. Or you can use the pine kernels, which aren't as expensive as the pine nuts. 1 cup of roughly chopped mint leaves, because after all, you are going to put it in the food processor or hand blend it in a jug. I put in about a teaspoon of the rind of lemon and the juice of 1 lemon, 4 cloves of garlic and salt. Yeah, it was quite garlicky, but you know me, I love my garlic. So, and I just stuck it all into the blender. Well, actually put it into my jug, add a little bit of oil and between everything, mixed it all together. And I had this wonderful pesto, which I served with the lamb. Then, of course, I had to bring in some eggplant somewhere because that's quite Mediterranean. So I bought in some baba ganoush, which is very easy to make. In fact, I just buy them whole, the whole eggplant, stick it into my oven on quite high, about 200, and just prick it a few places and just let it roast and roast and roast and roast for about an hour and a half. And then once it's soft, you can feel it after about an hour. If it's soft, take it out, leave it cool a little, peel off the skin of the eggplant. And then I add to that garlic, a little bit of lemon juice, mayonnaise, and salt and pepper, and it's delicious. And I stuck that into a long sort of bowl with some pita all around it. And then I made some red pepper hummus. Now you can make your own hummus if you want to, or you can just buy regular hummus in a little tub. And what I did was I bought some red peppers, drained the red peppers. You can get them pepper juice, yeah, the little pepper juice, and you can get them already cut up. But I used I think it's 250 grams of the hummus, and I mixed it, blended it with my hand blender with the red pepper, and it was absolutely delicious. Serve that as well. And you can, you can just throw in whatever you feel like. There's wonderful salads you can do. You can do quinoa salads. I'm going to give you a recipe a little later for quinoa salad. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and we are talking healthy options for Shabbos, especially the Shabbos Project. And I was talking about a Mediterranean meal and how I made lamb with the mint pesto. And another thing that you actually can do, which is really delicious, was I sliced up and baked some aubergines, some eggplants, sliced them about half a centimeter thick, baked them on a tray with a little bit of spray and cook, and then opened up a tin of lentils, a couple of sun-dried tomatoes, and then I put a little bit of the mint pesto on top of the aubergine, which is went down very nicely as well, kept in with the theme. And then I just poured a little bit of your favorite salad dressing over it. You could also just have a little bit of a vinaigrette, which is, I like a red wine, about a quarter of a cup red wine vinegar, half a cup of olive oil, about a teaspoonful, just half a teaspoon to a teaspoon of mustard powder, a little bit of garlic, salt and pepper, whisk it together, and that you can just sort of throw over your aubergines. Now, for those who don't like lamb too much, and I know there are quite a few people who don't like it, I also made one evening, a spicy evening, as I called it, and I made harissa roast chicken. It was so simple, and it was so easy to make that I couldn't believe how everybody loved it. All it was, I took a chicken, I patted it dry, and then I bought one of those packets of harissa spice. They come, it's like in a little, red packet. It's made by Spice. You can get it at most of the supermarkets, and it's called harissa paste. What you can do is you can also go to Woolworths and you can get the harissa spice and just add a little bit of oil to that so that it makes a paste, and then you just smear it over the chicken. And then what I did, because you know what we like, we panic and we think, oh, we're not going to have enough, and what if so-and-so brings so-and-so and that, whatever. So I thought, let me stuff this chicken, which we did. And all I did was I bought a packet of the Woolworths stuffing. You can also get in apartment stuffing, and I followed the recipe, stuffed my chicken, stuck it in to a bag, and I roasted it with beautiful sweet potato and pumpkin. And I cut the pumpkin and sweet potato into long strips, and I put it in with the chicken into the bag, let it cook together, didn't move the bag around too much, otherwise the vegetables get all squishy and whatever. And I roasted it for about an hour and a half, and I think it was an hour and a half to almost 2 hours. I don't want to lie, on 170. So I did allow it to go brown, I did allow it to cook a little bit longer because remember we put stuffing in. Now once you put stuffing into something, it takes a lot longer to cook. So we had that lovely spicy chicken. And then of course, for those who don't like chicken or lamb, let's go for a short rib, dish, which is also, a long day of cooking, but really worth it. It's delicious. So I marinated, about 2.5 kilos of chunky beef short ribs. So it's the ones that are quite meaty and they should be about 5-6 centimeters in length. You ask your butcher to cut them into 5-6 centimeter pieces. Then I took some olive oil, about 1/3 cup of olive oil, 2 cups of red wine, 1 liter of beef stock, the liquid, not 4 cups of beef stock powder. What you can do is you can use, I would say 3 beef stock cubes, maybe 2 beef stock cubes to 1 liter of water. You'll also need a little bit of corn flour, some spring onions and toasted sesame seeds for garnishing. And you'll need 200 mils of soy sauce, 50 grams of brown sugar, 120 mils, which is 1/2 cup of rice wine vinegar. My favorite, about 2 tablespoons of sesame oil and about 1 to 1.5 tablespoons of honey, depending on how sweet you like it. And I just put everything together and I just let it marinate. I brought it all up to the boil. So they were almost cooked. Left them in that marinade overnight in the fridge. Okay. And, took them out and then I just let them roast with the lid off for about 3 to 3.5 hours and slow roasting on 160. And they really were delicious. And then all I did was I added a little bit of, the toasted sesame seeds. You'll need about 2 tablespoons of that, some chopped spring onions. And there you have it. And it was a short rib, a Thai style, a sticky Thai style short rib. Anyway, that was for the Thai evening. and I also served some spring rolls with that, but we're trying to keep healthy, so no fried food. We're just going with the short rib and some lovely jasmine rice. If you don't want rice, you can use quinoa. It's as simple as that. And while I'm on the subject of quinoa, I have to give you a lovely quinoa. You know, everybody talks about quinoa. Ooh, woo, woo, so tasteless and whatever. But this was somehow worked very, very well. It was 1.5 cups of quinoa cooked as per the instructions. So it's 1.5 cups of raw quinoa. And then you cook it as per the instructions on the packet. You will also need 2 grated carrots, so they're about medium-sized carrots, and I grated them on the small side. You'll also need 3/4 cup of crushed hazelnuts. You can use cashews if you prefer. You can also use pistachio nuts, but the hazelnuts just worked so well together. And I dry fried them. But you've got to watch them. You've got to keep your eye on them because you don't want to burn them. But dry frying them is in a fat-free frying pan and you just keep sort of tossing them because remember nuts give off a natural oil so they will cook and they'll get a little bit brown and crispy. Set them aside once you've cooked the dry fried the nuts, whichever ones you're going to use. And in the meantime, you chop up 1/2 cup of parsley. And about 10 apricots. But I would use a sharp knife and just keep dipping the knife into boiling water because you want to chop those apricots up really small. So you'll have to just keep putting them, dipping the knife into boiling water and that helps them not all sort of stick together. Then you'll also need the zest zest and juice of one lemon. In fact, I used only one teaspoon because my family are not too big on lemon. So I just used a teaspoon of lemon zest and the juice of one lemon and 200 mils of olive oil and 2 tablespoons. Okay, so we're going to keep this really healthy. We're going to use agave syrup, spelled A-R-G-A-V-E, agave syrup. And we put on some black pepper and some salt, and it was absolutely delicious. The quinoa was almost like that old rice salad. I don't know if any of you have ever had that wild rice salad where you put hazelnuts and nuts and dried apricots and all that kind of thing. Now, if you want to, as I've always said, whatever you have a mouthful, add to your salad. So if you feel like putting in red, green, and yellow peppers, chop them up, dice them up, put them into the salad. And there you have a beautiful quinoa salad. So after the break, I will come back with some ideas.
Chalashim for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Now, while we're on the subject of salads, I know I always share this salad because it's absolutely delicious and it's the one that really goes. And for the Mediterranean evening, I forgot that I also included this. It was a pasta with a cashew pesto. And I know I always give my daughter's recipe. She makes the best pasta with basil and pine kernels and garlic and all sorts of things. So we decided, I don't know if you've seen out and about, there's beautiful tomatoes, not the cherry tomatoes, I've forgotten what they're called, heirloom tomatoes. Oh, anyway, they're beautiful. They're all different colored tomatoes. So I decided to jazz the salad up a little bit. So, and this is how it goes. So you take a packet of, you can use whatever pasta you want, but for me, the scree, the ones that look like the Fusilli ones, those Fusilli pasta, or the shell shaped pasta, whichever one sort of holds the juice nicely. Boil that up, cook it as per the recipe, and take about 3 big handfuls of fresh basil, and chop that with, or blend it rather, with some olive oil, about 3 or 4 cloves of garlic. And this time we used 1/2 cup of cashew nuts. Now you can use more. And we dry fried the cashew nuts as well. And then sort of roughly chop them up. And it's actually 1 cup of cashew nuts. One we just used chopped up and the other one we put into the pesto, into the fresh basil and the virgin olive oil. Mix that all together with some salt and pepper and the garlic. And just, as I say, keep some cashew nuts aside, dry fry those, and then added all the beautiful tomatoes. Now, you can fry the tomatoes just on very high heat, very quickly, so that almost like their skin almost bursts, and then you can put them into the salad. And then you just sprinkle a little bit of fresh basil on top, and a little bit more of the cashew nuts, or if you want, you can use hazelnuts, or you can use, what else can we use? Pine kernels. Okay, so that's a quick and easy, but nice salad to have, and doesn't have to be full of salad dressing, just lightly dressed. Now, of course, we always need to know what are we going to make for pudding. So I decided to look for something really guilt-free, and somehow the guilt-free stuff that came up was fruit, basically fruit. But at the moment, you can get the most beautiful roasted fruit. I mean, plums and nectarines and peaches, which you cut in half, take the pip out, and you roast them under the griller. And you can actually put a little bit of ginger cream with it. Put a little bit of that ginger syrup with it. And I've given the recipe once before. I think it's on the site. And add a little bit of olive oil, beat up a little bit of cream, non-dairy cream, a coconut cream. And make sure that it's separated, otherwise it won't beat up. And you can just serve your roasted nectarines, your stone fruit, with this lovely ginger cream. But, or as I say, you can get lovely fruit platters. You can make up a lovely fruit platter. But I did find something quite healthy, and because it's a special Shabbos, I thought that I would share it with you. It is a lemon tart. Now, this is actually a lemon tart that my family will eat, because I mean, they're not too, they don't like lemon too much, but anyway, this is a good one. You'll need 1.5 cups of, you can use regular flour, but if we're going to be healthy or we want to go the healthy route with the gluten-free flour, we can. So it's about 1¾ cups of flour. You'll need a dessert spoon of xylitol, 3 tablespoons of canola, of margarine, 60 grams, which is about 1/4 cup of wholesome. Now, today wholesome does not have any meat in it. It's pyrav. It's a vegetable shortening. And it's crucial that you actually put it in the fridge and make sure that it gets really hard. And then you'll need 1 egg beaten together with about 1 teaspoon of water. And then what you do, the pastry ingredients must be as cold as possible. Okay, so especially the butters and the shortening. So you refrigerate it until you need it. And then you sift the flour and you add the xylitol, the butter, the shortening. Cut it into small chunks if you want to with a knife. And with your hands, you rub the butter and the shortening into the flour until it resembles breadcrumbs. And I mean, you can do this in the food processor if you want to. And then you add 1 tablespoon of the egg mixture and just sort of fork all the mixture, the whole mixture together until it still must be crumbling and not quite coming together. But if you add a little bit more liquid, a little bit more water, it will all come together. And you squish it, as I say, push it together, and you bring into a smooth ball, and then you just roll it out and put it into your baking dish, and there you've got a lovely pastry which doesn't have sugar in it, and it's gluten-free. So, or as I say, if you want to, you can use regular flour. And then for the filling, what I did was I took 1 cup of lemon juice, the zest of the lemon, 6 eggs, and 1 cup of non-dairy creamer, and about 300 grams of sugar. Now, you can substitute it for xylitol if you want. When I made mine, I didn't substitute it with xylitol. I just used sugar. And then, of course, you will use the pastry. And I would blind bake the pastry first in the oven. That is when you put a piece of baking paper or tin foil on top of the pastry, and you cover it with some beans or something. You can even get little pastry pebbles these days. And you bake it in the oven for about 15 minutes until it's, you know, it goes a little bit lightly golden. And then, of course, what you do with the lemon juice and the lemons and the eggs and all that is, in a stainless steel bowl, you combine the lemon juice, the zest, the eggs, the cream, and the non-dairy creamer and the sugar, and you warm it up to, in a double boiler. Okay, warm it up if you've got a thermometer up to about 40 degrees, and you pour the mixture into the baked pastry cake, and you bake it for about 25 minutes. And then what you do, don't forget, you have to remove the paper and the beans before you pour the lemon filling into the pastry case. And then what you do to check that the tart is actually ready, it should be more or less set. If it's still too liquidy, which sometimes happens with Oliwerp or with a non-dairy creamer, it can be a bit too liquidy. Just continue baking it and checking it 5 minutes intervals. And then when you see that it's almost getting firm, you just turn off the oven and you leave the tart inside the oven to cool. Okay. And you are going to bake this, on 150. For about 25 minutes, and then just keep checking it all the time. Okay, so you don't forget, you've boiled it up in a double boiler and it's got lovely and thick, and then you pour it into your tart base. And once the tart has cooled, you can actually chill it in the fridge. So you can make this the day before if you would really want to. And this will also help you to, if you want to unmold the tart and take it out of the pastry dish, you can. You can get those lovely pastry dishes now that have got the base is separate to the sides, but it still looks like a lovely pastry, tart dish. And you can just garnish it with a pile of frozen blackberries or cranberries or strawberries, whatever you feel like putting on top. But I must say that if you freeze the, blackberries or blueberries, it actually looks lovely because it sort of gets like this white shimmer on top. But then you have to serve it straight away. So that is the main meal. Okay, I haven't discussed a soup, but I really wanted to rather discuss Shabbos morning breakfast with you after the break.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Okay, so it's Shabbos morning and everybody thinks, oh, what am I going to make? And those people who haven't kept Shabbos before are thinking, oh, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? You know what I think is a wonderful idea, and I suggested it while I was overseas in London doing my demonstration, was a poke bowl breakfast. Now, with a poke bowl breakfast, you can actually do it with fruit, or you can do a continental poke bowl breakfast. Everything is cold. And what you do is you can put out in a lovely row and make it look all very exciting. You can put out cherry tomatoes. You can put out some spinach leaves. You can put out boiled eggs, smoked salmon or the salmon trout ribbons, some avocado pears, chunky style or plain style cottage cheese. You can put out a little lemon juice for those who like to squeeze it over their avocado and over their salmon. And then something really lovely and delicious is some crushed pecan nuts. And just have that in a little bowl. I mean, there's so many different things that you can actually put in your little poke bowl for breakfast. You can also serve grilled peaches. I mean, grill it the day before and serve it with yogurt and honey. Or the night before's fruit, any leftover fruit, serve that with a little bit of yogurt and honey. But if you feel like something really sort of spicy, as I do, I have fallen in love with avocado pear. So what I do is I get the, what's it called, the toasted bread, Melba toast. And what I've been doing is I've been making up the avocado the day before with a little bit of coriander, a little bit of lemon juice so it doesn't go black, a little bit of garlic, not too much garlic because remember you're going to be sitting next to somebody in shul. And I just put that in a little bowl, and you can also do some egg, boiled egg grated with a little bit of mayonnaise, and put that on your Melba toast. You can also do baba ganoush. Don't forget, not too much garlic. have a little bit of rachmonis on your neighbor at shul. But something really delicious that I know a lot of families, I know my family love, is mashed, grated and boiled egg with fried onion and a little bit of mayonnaise, salt and pepper, and you have that on your Melba toast. Or you can toast pita the day before, bake pita, and you can put all different spreads and all different things onto your baked pita. Of course, you can also have some lovely muffins ready. I mean, there's nothing nicer than a beautiful apple muffin. The recipe's also on the site, or it's in my second book, Celebrating. It's in the Rosh Hashanah section. Add some raisins to it. And, you know, the kids, listen, you're not going to be hungry, I promise you. The whole day, whichever shul you go to, you're going to be eating. But it's good to have a nice little breakfast. And then, of course, you've got your brocha, and then you'll have your lunch, I'm sure, at shul. But what about granola? Easy granola. Make some granola and have your fruit salad and yogurt with that. Just a little something. But one thing I want to share with you. Have I got time to share? Vuzi, I've got time. Okay. I want to share a butternut and chickpea falafel, which I also made for my Mediterranean evening in the sukkah. And I really wanted to share this with you because it's something that you can have as a starter for Shabbos. You can have it as a starter, Shabbos day. You can have it, as a starter on Friday night. And it was butternut and chickpea falafel. Why? Because there was somebody in the family who doesn't eat chickpeas. I thought, well, how am I going to do it? Anyway, it's not because they're allergic to them or whatever. It's just the thought of a chickpea. Anyway, so I decided I'm going to make butternut and chickpea falafel. So what I did was I took a kilo of butternut, the pre-sliced ones, the ones that come cubed already, and I stuck it into the microwave. You can put it into a pot and steam it. But the most important thing is you don't want extra water. So you want to steam it. You don't want to boil it and then drain off the water, because remember, butternut really absorbs a lot of water. And then what I did was I drained as well a tin of chickpeas. Didn't tell them. And then added that to the butternut with a handful of coriander, a tablespoon of cumin, and quite a bit of salt for the butternut. Pulsed it all together. So it was quite firm. If you find that yours is not firm enough, then you can add a little bit of flour or chickpea flour if you want to. And then all I did was I baked them. So, see, I'm going healthy again this year for the chief rabbi. He wants healthy, I'm going healthy. Didn't fry them, okay, baked them, and on 180 until they were lovely and brown. I did spray them with spray and cook, yes. I baked them until they were lovely and brown, and then I served them with some tahina and beetroot and rocket. Served it with a little bit of beetroot on the side and some rocket. And the person who doesn't eat chickpeas was crazy for it. So there you go. You can ask me. I can hide anything. I can even make a piece of hake look like a piece of soul. So I think that is all we have time for at the moment. Or we'll go to a song and I'll come back with another quick recipe if I have time.
Chalashing for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. Well, I must admit, I've been outnumbered. Okay, so everybody is saying to me, no, you've got to include a soup. Okay, so I'm going to include a soup from a wonderful, wonderful book called Summer Food by Jart Wolfren. And his book is absolutely superb. It's easy, simple. And I thought, you know what? instead of us trying to keep the soup hot, let me give you his tomato gazpacho, which I tried a few weeks ago and worked very well. I mean, I've got a recipe where I include roasted red peppers in mine, but I think that this one is a lovely fresh one. And seeing as we are in summer and it has been really hot, let's enjoy his tomato gazpacho. And he says here, nothing says summer more than tomatoes with their splashes of vibrant, bright red. This is a recipe that does better with advanced preparation. Okay, so here we go. We can get it all organized before. To avoid a washed out pinkish soup, it needs to rest for a minimum of 2 hours, but preferably overnight. The pink color results from the aeration of the tomatoes. I enjoy all the additions served with this dish. It's as if you're creating and developing your own masterpiece at the table. This is really a fun dish. I mean, and also I must agree with him. Haven't you noticed that once your tomatoes, when you make them, your tomato, let's say Neapolitana, looks so pale compared to the rich tomato Neapolitano or arrabbiata sauces that you get at restaurants. Well, they obviously add a lot more red paste to it, or they use really, really lovely ripe Italian tomatoes. But what we're going to do here is we are going to use one red pepper, a quarter of a cucumber, 380 mils of water, 4 tomatoes quartered. Yeah, I would go for the red ones. I like very red tomatoes in cold soup. 1 clove of garlic, 15 mils, which is a tablespoon of vinegar, 60 mils of extra virgin olive oil, 8 drops of Tabasco sauce, 5 mils of sea salt, which is a teaspoon of ground cumin, and salt and black pepper to taste. Now to serve it, which he said is half the fun of eating the soup, is serving it with 3 radishes, a quarter of a cucumber, half a red onion, 1 lemon, and 4 slices of ciabatta bread. But I suppose we can serve ours with challah. After all, we're going to be cooking it for Shabbos. So, place the red pepper on a direct gas flame and char all over until blackened and soft. As I said, I just stick mine in the oven and let it get soft to avoid burning it myself or you burning yourself. Alternatively, as he says here, you can roast it in the oven like I do at 200 for 15 to 20 minutes. And once it's charred, place the pepper in a bowl and cover with cling wrap. This makes it easier to remove the skin. I just put mine in a plastic bag. Same thing. Leave the pepper to sweat for 10 minutes or until cool enough to handle. Peel the roasted pepper and remove the seeds. So, then we peel and de-seed the cucumber and we cut it into chunks. Place the red pepper, flesh, cucumber, water, tomatoes, garlic, vinegar, olive oil, Tabasco, sea salt and cumin into a liquidizer and liquidize. First on low and then you increase the speed. Taste and adjust the seasoning. Decant the gazpacho into a jug. Cover and refrigerate for a minimum of 2 hours, but preferably overnight. Finely slice the radishes. I preferred mine chopped. It was more sort of chunky and gave the soup more texture. So you can chop up the radishes, the cucumbers. This is when you're going to serve it. You can also cut the cucumbers if you want to into matchstick size pieces, but I prefer it just chopped up. It's easier to eat. And finally dice the red onion. And then you rinse it all. You can rinse it all under cold water. And then you cut the lemon into quarters and remove the pith and any pips. Then you toast the chia butter. Well, we're just going to use, we're not going to toast it. You can toast it on Thursday if you want to, so that you've got chia butter. And then you drizzle a little bit of olive oil over it, and Bob's your auntie. And then you pour the gazpacho into serving bowls. I put mine into little cups, drizzled with the olive oil, and you serve the radishes, cucumbers, and the onions and the lemon wedges on the side, so people can take and help themselves to however much they feel like, however crunchy they feel they want their soup. And you just place that around the soup bowls or the soup platter. You can put all your little cups. It looks lovely on a wooden platter. And you put all your little cups on, and you put all the little bits and pieces on the sides, and you serve that. And that's our tomato gazpacho, which is really delicious, which you can actually serve if you're not going out for lunch on Shabbos or any other Shabbos. Serve that in this lovely, on these lovely hot summer days, that easy tomato gazpacho. Now, if you find that you'd like to add it to make it a little bit more red, or you'd like to make it a little bit more tomato-y, just add a little bit more tomato paste. Add a little more tomato paste to mine, one of those little sachets, and but nevertheless, it was delicious. You can, of course, swirl a little bit of non-dairy cream if you want to, or you can add a little bit of coconut cream to it. As I've always said, whatever your mouth has a feel for, put that in your food. So, okay, so I think that's it for the Shabbos Project weekend. And I hope to see you, speak to you in about 2 weeks' time. Yes, I think that will be just before the Shabbos Project, I think, is my next slot. But in the meantime, you can start preparing and getting ready for this wonderful weekend, which is on the 12th and 13th, I think, of November. And go onto their website, ShabbosProject.org, and get all the information that you can. Have a wonderful week. And remember, it's the eat in meat that makes the show complete.